Let's hey, we're all here to have fun together, aren't we?
Right.
I love to laugh at y'all. Y'all laugh at me, I'm gonna laugh back. I think it's some of these pictures are funny. The long-haired rascals over there, some of them got long hair, and some of them don't have any hair, and they had a lot of hair then. Some of them are skinny, and they used to be skinny, males and females. But hey, you can be a snob if you want to. I'm not going to be a snob. Amen. I'm going to enjoy life. Virginia won last night. I'm happy. Amen, Brandy. Say amen, Brandy. Say louder, Brandy. Amen. Thank you. That's good. All righty. Colossians chapter number 3. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, because I want to read these verses, beginning in verse number 12. This morning, I'd like to, we're going to talk about the incredible family. The incredible family, and one part of it is today. I would like to leave the children out here today, if it's all right. We're not going to have children's church. If that's okay with you parents, I hope it'd be okay. They can enjoy the time with us. But beginning in verse number 12 of Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says this, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." As we read these verses, apply them to the home. These verses are not just talking about the church or individual. It applied to the home. When you think about all these things that should apply in our homes. Verse 14, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Let's pray together. Father, bless thy word to our hearts today. Bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. For a few moments, I want to share some thoughts with you about, as I was talking about, the incredible family. But today I want us to look at harmony and hope in the home. Harmony and hope in the home. You know, I was reading this, and I just want to share it with you. I do not know who said this, but I saw it somewhere, and I jotted it down. Someone made this statement: "A lack of church programs and entertainment is not why our youth and adults are leaving the churches. Many youth and adults have no relationship with Jesus Christ. Until we focus on fixing that, all the entertainment and all the programs in the world won't keep them in church." Folks, that makes a lot of sense. I wish I knew who said that. I wish I'd have said that in those words. But I do believe it, and I agree with it, but it's so true. All the entertainment and all the programs in the world will not keep you in if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, harmony and hope for the home begins first and foremost with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Without that, all the rest of it's kind of futile. All the rest of it is just kind of like love, tinkling brass and dangling cymbals, however the Bible says that. You know, someone made this statement: "How to fix America. He said, put Jesus back in all the places that we've asked him to leave. And he, then he names the places. Government, we ask him to leave, we need to put him back. Our schools, we ask him to leave, we took him out, we need to put him back. Our churches, isn't that sad? Our churches, we ask him to leave, we need to put him back. And our homes, we ask him to leave and we need to put him back. And then he ended up and said, oh yes, also our hearts. Folks, some of us have taken Jesus out of our hearts. I don't mean you to lose your salvation, but we don't have him in our hearts like we should. We need to put Jesus back in government. Amen?
Amen.
We need to put Jesus back in our schools. We need to put Jesus back in our churches. We need to put Jesus back in our homes. And we need to put Jesus back in our hearts. And folks, if we're going to fix America, if we're going to fix our churches, if we're going to fix our homes, we've got to put Jesus and allow Jesus to be in the rightful place all the time. I want us to think this morning on this thought, God's desire for your home, harmony and hope. I have four actors that are going to help me out this morning. Will you four actors come forward? Folks, this is the elite of the acting profession right here. I picked the four best. Look at them. No stage fright. This is John Chocolate, and I don't know what you call these three. That'd be a good group, though. Did y'all remember? Didn't I say Gracia? What? Yes. Grace is carrying the group because John didn't know what to do. That's what she said. You notice. Now, listen, folks, I've got them here for a purpose. Could y'all kind of come over in the center? There you go. And spread on out as far as you can without hurting each other. There you go. All right, folks, listen. I'm trying to get a point across here. And I just want to use them to get the point across. When you think about this, I have this thought. There are two types of families. Now, let's just say, use it, and just say in your mind that they're a family. This is a family here. Four people in a family. There are two types of families. One type of family, I call it the flourishing together family. Flourishing together family. And what I mean by that is they love to be together. Isn't it great when families love to be together? As harmony and hope builds, they get closer together. Y'all begin to walk closer together. You see, as harmony and hope builds, they get closer. Closeness brings stability and strength. Keep on going. Don't breathe on each other. You might fall on the floor. But see what happens, folks? As harmony and hope builds in the family, look what it does. It draws you closer. Are you getting it? Closer and closer and closer together. Now turn around and do the other thing that I ask you to do. You remember that? Tell John. There you go. All right. All right. The second family is this. The spreading apart family. Now, folks, think about it. You're either flourishing together or spreading apart. And here's what a spreading apart family is. They're made up of several, let's say four today, independent members, yet they live in the same house. That makes sense? Think about it. Rather to do things with others than doing them with each other. And you think about it, when they're standing like this, they're not looking at each other. They're not focused on each other. We're talking about the family. So, there you go. That means move out. Yeah. And see what happens? When they're looking out and focusing out in the world, focusing out at others, focusing out on anything else, look what happens. The family spreads apart. Does that make sense? Folks, thank y'all so much. Y'all can be seated. Thank y'all for your help. And the reason I want to do that, I want you to see, if put it like this, God wants our families to be flourishing together. Amen? He wants our families to flourish together. Together is the key word. He does not want our families spreading apart. The farther we spread, the family becomes fractured, and it becomes disrupted, and it's always by outside influence. If your family is getting more influence from other things and other people more than from the family, Houston, we have a problem. Amen? You have a problem. We have a problem. Let me repeat that. If your family is getting more influence from other things and other people more than from family, you have a major problem. You have a problem. There may be nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with good influence. I mean, you can get good influence from a good pastor. You can get influence from good church members. You can get influence from good teachers. You can get influence from good coaches and good family members, even physical family members. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we can't get good advice and good influence from the outside, but if that's all the influence you're getting is from the outside and the family is constantly pulling apart from each other, then there's going to never be harmony and hope in that home. There's going to be no harmony and hope in that home. And our desire as parents and children all together, we ought to want a flourishing together home. Because if we're only getting that from the outside, and if you're only getting that from the outside, if you're getting more from the outside than you are from home, then you fit in that number two category. Is your home today spreading apart, or is your home flourishing together? I want us to, real quickly this morning, how to build harmony and hope in your home. I want to give you five ways to build harmony and hope in your home. And folks, this is simple. This is nothing profound. It's nothing we've never heard before. God's word is true. God's word is simple. God's word is profound. But how to build harmony and hope in your home? Now you may say, I'm not married yet. I'm not married yet. Well, these things may help you when you do get married. Well, you may say, I have a broken home right at the moment. Well, we feel bad for that, I'm sorry. I mean, I wish there was something we could do to help, but life's not over yet. You never know what can happen. Stay close to God, and maybe you can learn some things that can help either put that back together or help in the future or whatever. Or you may say, we have a home, and we're trying our best. Well, maybe there are some things you can maybe even add. Or maybe you can just reinforce things in your home. But how to have harmony? Folks, think about this. Let me ask you a question. Don't you want to have harmony in your home? Raise your hand if you do. I mean, I know that's a silly question, but who would say, no, I don't want harmony in my home? Sure, we want harmony in our home. We want unity in our home. We want togetherness in our home. And there are some things that can help do that, simple things that can help do that. We don't want a home spreading apart. We don't want a home of single individuals that are in the same family living in one place and just doing their thing and everybody going their direction and all this. Folks, that's not harmony and that's not hope. That's not the way God wants it to be. But here's one way to build harmony and hope in your family. Have customs in your family. Have customs. There's other words you could use. I like the word customs, but have routine, rituals. Do certain things all the time. And what I mean by that is this. We need to have in the home, you need to have in your home, customs, habitual things, I guess is a good way to say it. Same old, same old. Now, I know we're living in the millennial age. Ooh. We're living in that age of millennials. That's two of them sitting right here. Two millennials sitting right here, and there's a bunch of them all over the place. But listen, it's nothing wrong with the same old, same old. I get so tired of being called old-fashioned. I'm going to change my middle name to OF, old-fashioned. Everything I do is old-fashioned. I sing Amazing Grace, that's old-fashioned. If I whistle Bringing in the Sheaves, that's old-fashioned. I use a King James Bible, praise God, that's old-fashioned. Folks, there's nothing wrong with the same old, same old. Now, understand what I'm saying. Some of this new stuff will cause the homes to be spread apart. But when I say same old, and habitual times and things, I'm talking about, listen, as a family, you ought to celebrate birthdays together. Amen. Boy, that's profound, isn't it? No, folks, that's true. You ought to celebrate birthdays together. You know, as families, you ought to eat dinner together sometimes, like every day, if you possibly can. You ought to eat dinner together. You know, I know it's that's so old-fashioned. I guarantee you some of our young people probably went to school and told some of their mates, schoolmates, that they ate dinner together with their family, they'd probably be laughed at. They'd probably say, that's old-fashioned. Who does that anymore? I mean, what I do, I grab my lunch and I go into my room and I shut my door and I get back on my computer or I get back on my phone while I'm not going to eat with my mama and my daddy. Folks, homes are spreading apart like that. It's a known fact. I think Billy Abbott mentioned it when he was preaching. But it is a known fact. Read. I mean, if you read and study and look things up and read a lot of things, you see these things. It's a known fact that families that eat together are closer together. The reason is, at that time when they're eating, is when they do most of the personal talking to each other. I'm talking about families that will tell their children, put the phone away while we're eating. Parents, put your phone away while you're eating. Amen? I mean, you can't eat without a phone laying beside your plate. Really. We can eat without a phone. You can go into a restaurant without a phone there all the time. Beside you. You can do that. You need to do that. This world has got us to the place where we're programmed by them instead of what the Word of God says. We need to spend time together, and that time, just a half an hour or 40 minutes eating together, is a wonderful time. You want harmony in your home? Spend time together eating. Play games together. Folks, family members ought to play games together. Play Monopoly. You said, my land, you preach too long. I ain't going to play Monopoly. That's too long. We have more fun when the grandkids come home. Eli and Josh, they love Monopoly. Connie will sit all day and play Monopoly with them. I'll play one game, and that's enough for me, 4 hours, 3 or 4 hours. But she'll play all day. They love it. Folks, kids love that stuff. Your kids will love that stuff, too. Play Clue with them. Amen? Okay, if you don't know what those things are, play checkers with them. Play tic-tac-toe with them. Okay? Play Old Maids with them. Play Uno with them. All these particular... Folks, I'm trying to let you know, if you want harmony and hope in your home, do things together with your family. Amen? Amen? Do things together with your family. Have fun times with your family. Have fun with them. And you know what? It's nothing wrong with spouses having fun together either. Have fun together and let your children see you're having fun together. But if we want to have harmony and hope in our homes, we need to have customs in our homes. Don't let this world change what the home is supposed to be. Please, let me warn you, and please I'll beg you, get on my knees and beg if I have to. Don't make your home, or don't model your home after Hollywood. Don't model your home after TV. Folks, they are anti-God, they're anti-Christian, they're anti-church, they're anti-home, they're anti-marriage, they're anti-anything that's right. Model your home after some godly Christian family you know. Model your home after the Word of God. Model your home the way it's supposed to be. Do things together. Have customs in your life. Then here's something else. If you want harmony and hope in your home, be considerate. Be considerate of each other. I use this word regard. Have regard for each other. Show recognition and regard towards one another. It bothers me, and I just use this because, you know, who doesn't go to Walmart a lot? It's not Walmart's fault. I'm just talking about that's where I see a lot of people. And sometimes when you're in Walmart, you see sometimes the way that parents treat their children. And it's not just at Walmart. Like I said, it's not Walmart's fault. Any place you go, but I'm just saying, go over to Walmart and you see people in line and they're fussing with their children. They're cursing their children and they treat the child is standing there with this look on his face like somebody has beat them with a cat of nine tails. They're just beat down. They're beat down. They have no regard for them at all. Parents, you ought to regard your children for who they are. You know, if they're children, they may be little rascals. Amen? But you still ought to regard them as your children. If they're teenagers, they may be potential inmates. But you ought to regard them as your children. They're your children. You know, all of us are potential inmates. Amen? Yeah, you just have to stay close to the Lord. Anyway, regard your children for who they are. Children, regard your parents for who they are. They're doing the best they can. You may not believe it, but they're doing the best they can. You may not see it, but they're doing the very best they can. Siblings, and I know this is tough, Regard your siblings for who they are. Siblings. Regard your siblings. Can I just, talking about Hollywood, I can't pass this up. This advertisement, we were watching the ball game last night, and this advertisement came. Have y'all seen the advertisement of the two little boys that painted themselves? That is the most hilarious. If you haven't seen that, you ought to just watch TV to find that. I mean, the program's not worth anything, but these advertisements sometimes, some of them can be good. These two little guys, how many of y'all have seen this? Oh, good, a bunch of folks have. These two little fellas, one looks like he's, what, about four? And the other may be six or something like that. I don't know where they look like they're sitting in a shower, don't they? They're sitting in one of these stand-up showers, and they're sitting on the floor, and it's real quick, but somebody took a picture of them or something, and they're both sitting there, and all you can see is their eyes. They're covered with paint, all different colors of paint. And the mother, dad, one walks up and says, "Who did this?" And the little boy's going. And the one behind him is the little one behind him, and he's looking. And then the one in front goes. And then the one behind goes. I've been caught. And what's it advertisement? Yeah, help, I need somebody. That's what, I mean, it's hilarious. I know you say, "Preach, I can't believe you're talking about that." Well, big deal, it's fun. We laughed at those little guys. I mean, it's real. What I'm thinking, see, rascals, potential inmates. Those two little siblings there, they regarded each other. I mean, they looked like they felt sorry for each other. That little fellow had a hard time going, "It's his fault." And the little boy didn't say, "No, it's his." The little boy went, "Oh, it is my fault. I've been caught." Look, regard your siblings for what they are. Love your brothers and sisters. You know, when our children, Steve and Becky, was growing up, everything that Steve got caught doing, it was Becky's fault. They laugh about it now. That's not the truth. That's what Steve said. Everything was Becky's fault. And they may have fought, and they may have done this and done that and all this stuff. But you know, right today, Steve's 38 and she's 36, and they're closer than they've ever been. Folks, listen, young people, your siblings right today, you may think, "I'd give anything if they'd get out of the house. I'd give anything if I can get that room right there, or I can get those toys, or I can do this and this and this." But as you get older, you're going to appreciate those siblings of yours. Love your siblings. Regard them for who they are. Remember, God gave them to you, and He gave you to them. And also, I've said this before, and I believe this. If they're saved, they're also God's little children. Amen? They're God's little children. Regard them as a gift from God. Be considerate of one another. Parents, treat your children like they're human beings, not some rags and not something you beat around. Thirdly, here's something else to keep hope and harmony in the home. Give compliments. It's important to give compliments. Amen? Amen? Folks, there's nothing wrong at all with giving compliments. I get so tired of people saying, "Well, I'm not going to compliment somebody. It'll give them a big head." Folks, that's you're doing people wrong by saying that. Give people compliments. Husbands ought to compliment their wives daily. Wives, compliment your husbands daily. That's one thing, again, about Hollywood. It makes me just so upset. If I'm seeing something on TV, they try their best to make the man on television look like an animal. I'm going to say it, really. I mean, everything is against the man. I mean, the daddy. He's always some little wimp that doesn't know how to get in the house out of the rain. Folks, that's wrong. Thank you, Karen. I heard a hearty amen back there coming from the corner. But she said, "That's right. Preach it, sister." Yes, she said yes. Anyway, folks, isn't it true? If you see, I mean, they try their best to make the husband and the dad and the father like some idiot. Folks, that's wrong. That's the world again. That's Hollywood. No, God has a place in the home for the husband. He has a place in the home for the wife. He has a place in home for the children. But we ought to compliment each other. Compliment your wife. Listen to this. You know, sometimes I got to thinking about this. I was driving in the road the other day thinking about this. And I thought, now, what are some compliments you can give, but in a moment of time, you can kill them instantly? Somebody ever given you a compliment, and then before they finished giving you the compliment, they said something that killed the compliment? Let me give you some examples here that come to my mind. A man to his wife, or a husband to his wife, Your new hairstyle makes you look 10 years younger. Y'all don't get that. She does not want to hear she looks 10 years younger. That means she looked 10 years older before. Hello? The lights are on, but nobody's home. Amen? Well, here's another one. Maybe you'll understand this one. You're a pretty good driver for a woman. I mean, see, he complimented her. You're a pretty good driver for a woman. You ever had that happen to you? That's not the compliment you want to hear. Here's a good one. You look great for your age. Lord, don't ever say that to your wife. Don't ever say that. Here's another one don't ever say. You've lost so much weight. I'm so glad you're not fat anymore. You want to sleep on the front porch? Go ahead. Say that. See, look, he complimented her. You've lost so much weight. You know, she was going, oh, he noticed. I'm glad you're not fat anymore. It just knocked it in the head. Here's another one. When you put on makeup, you look so pretty. Do y'all get that? When is the word. When you put on makeup, you look so pretty. In other words, you're ugly as homemade soap without makeup. Say, that's a compliment. You look so pretty when you put on makeup. See, that's compliments that are killed. I'm just going to use one on you wives because I don't want to you know, hurt y'all today. But listen, wives to the husband, I love your hair, but it sure is thinning. See, it's one thing, they're giving a compliment on their hair, but then they got to say it sure is thinning. Some people just have a hard time giving compliments. Folks, we ought to learn to give compliments, and especially in your family, give compliments. Husbands, compliment your wife. Tell her she's pretty. Whether you think she is or not, tell her. I mean, hey, you married her, amen? You ask her. And anyway, tell her she's pretty. When she cleans the house, here you go again, when she cleans the house, let her know it looks good. Let her know you appreciate the house being clean. Amen? What's wrong with that? Well, I ain't telling her. It's like an old fella got married and told his wife. She asked him after 40 years of marriage. She said, you never tell me you love me. He said, listen, when we got married, I told you I love you, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. That's about the way most of us are. That's not the way to be. Compliment one another. Wives, compliment your husbands. You know one of the greatest compliments you could give your husband? Tell him that you're blessed to have him. Amen. Yes, sir. You want to get the checkbook without any problems? Tell him. Tell him you're blessed. I am so blessed to have you as my husband. But mean it, okay? Parents, compliment your children. Everything they do, you ought to compliment them. I mean it. A lot of times we expect too much. Children, compliment your parents. They sacrifice a whole lot for you. Remember, always remember this about your dad, your mom, or your children, or your husband or wife. They're beat down every day by this world. Amen? Folks, we're all beat down every day by this world. You know, and we need reinforcement. There's a rule of thumb when it comes to complimenting. Now think about this. I read this in one of John Maxwell's books. John Maxwell is one of the best writers that ever wrote. But he said in one of his books, the rule of thumb when it comes to complimenting, give 5 compliments to 1 criticism. Now, you know, really, you think, well, you know, that doesn't make sense. But, you know, you'd be surprised. Go through a whole day and with your children and see how many times you criticize them. And how many times you compliment them, and then compare. Probably sometimes, some days, the criticism outdoes the compliment. Really does. Give 5. If you got to criticize, and criticism may be necessary sometimes, to maybe be helpful, but just turn around and give them 5 compliments per 1 criticism. You'll see a difference in your family members. Then here's something else. If we want to have harmony and hope in our home. Now, this one gets real personal. Folks, there ought to be some courtship in the home. Amen. Y'all looking like a bunch of deer looking in headlights. Courtship. Dating. You know, spending some time together, husbands and wives. You know what? You ought to let your children hear you say, I love you to each other. Amen. Well, we tell each other that when we get in the car alone, or when we go to bed, we'll tell each other that. We don't want to be so mushy-mushy in front of our children. Folks, you know what's going to happen? Your children are going to grow up not being mushy-mushy with their husband or wife either. If dad and mom do it, they think it's right to do. Amen? Really? And you ought to do that. You ought to let your children hear you say, I love you. I'm talking about husband to wife. You ought to let your children see you holding hands. Amen. You know, there's nothing wrong. It doesn't matter. I think it's a beautiful thing to see Mr. and Mrs. Calhoun back here holding hands. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Jim and June. I'm talking about some of these ancient people. Some of these older folks. Sally and Eldon holding hands. I mean, isn't it just beautiful to you when you see an old couple walking across the street and they're holding hands? It's just something special about it. It's just something great about it. Listen, it's nothing wrong with that at all. They ought to see you hugging one another. Amen. You know, I read this thing, this little article. I think this was in a Reader's Digest. Here was a mom and daddy coming to the kitchen. They were standing at the kitchen counter, and the two little kids were sitting at the table or the island or something there eating some cereal. Mom and daddy standing beside each other. Here's what the daddy said to the mama. This is cute. He said, your hand sure does look heavy. She said, what? He said, your hand looks so heavy, I think I need to hold it. Isn't that cute? I'm going to use that one. I don't have to. I'm like you. I hope I'm like you. You don't have to say anything. But think about that. Your hand looks so heavy, I think is it okay if I hold it? Folks, what a wonderful thing for a husband to say to a wife. What a wonderful thing for a wife to say that to her husband. But listen, we ought to let your courtship. Go on a date sometime, husband and wife. Amen?
Amen.
It's nothing wrong with going on a date. I'll just share it. Hey, I don't know what you do on your dates. I don't know where you go, but I know what we do. When Connie and I, we love to go to train station. That's one of the best places to date. They got the best steaks. Anyway, and when we go over there, we always get one of the little twosome tables, no, when it's just she and I. We get one of these little tables up against the wall near the window or something, but up against the wall. They're only about this long. And see, that gets you closer together. They're only about this wide. And you can't get a lot of food on it, but anyways, it's just two chairs. I mean, if somebody comes in, if Jason and Patricia come in, they're not going to interfere with us. They can get their own little table. But if anybody, I mean, you want to go out, why? To be together. And I'm going to burst your bubble. I'm going to give you a compliment, but now I'm going to give you the instant kill it. Leave your phone in the car.
Amen.
Amen. You ever seen a husband and wife sitting in a restaurant? Here they are. He's sitting there. And she's sitting over here. And I'm a people watcher, folks. I watch people. I love to watch people. That's where I get most of my laughs from. I love to watch people. But you watch people, and you'll watch them for 10 minutes, and you're waiting for them to say the first word to each other. The last word they said was when they told the waiter, what they wanted to eat, and if they prayed. But other than that, they'll sit there. Most time they don't even talk to each other. And if it is, look. Well, look. Look what she said. Look. Look at this picture. Folks, that's not the kind of date you want to go on. Amen? Leave the cotton-picking phone at home. Or leave it in the car. But something may happen while we're gone for an hour, and I may not find out about it. Well, you know what? You will be okay. Amen. When you find out about it. You can come to church for an hour without a phone too, really. And I set the example to you. My phone is not with me. I don't carry my phone in church. One thing, I don't want it to go off. But another thing, I mean, if somebody wants me, and they can leave a message. Amen. And I'll get back with them later. Folks, we need to get defoned, whatever you call it, and spend some time together. Go on a date without your phone. If nothing else, take her to McDonald's. Amen. Jeff, take her to McDonald's, bro. She'd be happy. Amen. If McDonald's don't satisfy them, take them to the convenience store. I mean, just get them a Coke or something. Connie and I used to ride around, this was a long time ago, we used to ride around Dr. Pepper. Ooh, Dr. Pepper. And if it wasn't peanuts you put in it, we'd just get chips. I just loved it. I'd drink my Dr. Pepper and she'd feed me chips. Oh, that's when you dated and you didn't have this big hump in the middle of your car. Remember that? And that's when you could slide over and get beside each other. Folks, that's out of the picture anymore, isn't it? When's the last time you saw a couple dating and sitting beside each other? When's the last time you saw a couple dating? I'm talking about a couple that's not married. Dating must be gone out. I don't know what they do. How do they find out about each other? You young people, y'all have missed out on everything. Gracie, you're missing it. Cell phone, right. Facebook and cell phone. Folks, that ought not be the way it is. Folks, we need to spend some personal time together, alone time together, and doing the right things and enjoying one another's company. Laugh together. Laugh at each other. I have some of the biggest laughs off of Connie. You will never know some of the crazy things she does. It is hilarious. And she laughs at me. We laugh at each other all the time. If we didn't laugh at each other, I don't know what we'd do. I could tell you some fun. I'm going to tell you one funny thing she did. We went into a restaurant. I'm sorry about this, Jeff and Gene, I know you like this restaurant, but what's the name of it? It's up at the mall, Longhorn Steakhouse, is that it? They got the best filet mignons in there. If you ever want to take me out to eat. Anyway, we were sitting in there, and you know how the lights are a little lower? And I don't know why they don't pay the light bill or something. You can't hardly see your food, but a little light hanging over here or something, that's all he had. Well, I mean, she knows this. I mean, we laugh about it. I mean, it's not, but, you know, she can't see out of one eye and real good. And this was when before she had the last operation on the other eye. We were sitting there, and she was over here, and I was over here, and here come the waiter, and there was a man, real nice boy. He come and got our drinks, come back to get our food. Well, don't tell her I told you this. It takes her a little while to figure out what she wants to eat. I mean, I hate big menus because she reads them page. She reads them from the top to the end. She goes through everything in the menu before, and I'll say, well, are you ready yet? They close in about 4 hours. Are you ready yet? And she'll say, not yet. Give me just one more minute. And she looks some more, and she finally come up. You know what she usually gets? The very first thing she saw, a salad. Right. Chicken salad on top of that. But anyway, I ordered, and the guy was standing. I gave him my order because she hadn't finished. She finally finished. Well, while she was still looking, the guy, he knelt down. You know how they kneel down at the table? I'll get down. Y'all might not have to hit me up. Anyway, he knelt down like this on the table. He was waiting. This is the truth, folks. I mean, I'm telling you honestly. And he sat there and waited. I looked at him and said, and then when she finished, here's what she did. She looked up, and he was right here on the floor. And she goes, she looked at me, where'd he go? And there he was, right there looking at her. I tell you what, didn't that happen? It happened just like that. We had the biggest laugh. We laughed for 10 minutes. That poor guy went back through the door back there. I know he was just screaming and hollering and laughing. The whole kitchen back there, all of them was laughing after he told them that. But folks, listen, I'm telling you that to tell you this. Laugh with one another. Amen? If you want, don't fuss and fight and fume and fret and when husband comes home, have all this stuff for him to do. And if he don't do it, you're going to kill him before nighttime and all this stuff. I mean, and your wife, you come in, well, this hasn't been done today and this hasn't been done. Forget about all that stuff. 100 years from now, what difference is it going to make? Enjoy one another. Laugh with one another. Have a good time together. Folks, courtship. Have fun together. Hey, if he gets in his recliner and falls asleep, wives, here's what you need to do. Get you a can of whipped cream. I'm just telling you. Jane, get you a can of whipped cream and just, Jane. Laurie, get you a can of whipped cream and just put it all over his face. And when he wakes up, that's whipped cream everywhere. Folks, that would be fun. Don't you dare do it to me. But that'd be fun. Wouldn't that be fun? Folks, that'll put harmony and hope in your home. It really will. Have fun together. Leave your children sometimes with somebody responsible. And I say again, put your phone down, leave your phone, and just go out and have fun together. You'll have harmony and hope in your home. Let me close with this thought. Folks, here's something else to have harmony and hope: commitment. You can't have harmony and hope without commitment. Commitment. He says here in Colossians, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. He says in the book of Ephesians, let me just read this verse real quick. In Ephesians, he says, submitting, this first and foremost, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting to God first, and then submitting to one another. And you know, that's not just husband and wife. Every member of the family needs to be committed. Every family member needs to be under submission. Remember, every family member should be committed to helping make the family have harmony. It takes everybody to do that. It takes everybody. Just don't expect, well, you know, he ought to do this. It's his fault. He shouldn't say that. Listen, that's why you're so confused. Look at it and say, I shouldn't be expecting so much out of him. What am I doing? And then he should not be expecting so much out of her. What am I doing? The kids should say, I shouldn't expect so much out of my parents. What am I doing to make harmony in the home and make this a heavenly home to live in? What are we doing individually to make harmony and hope in our homes? Don't just expect. Give, 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 and give. Give yourself. Give your time. Give your love. Give your all. Let me close with this illustration. There was a baseball player, Harmon Killebrew. This is a true story. Harmon Killebrew played for the Minnesota Twins years and years ago. And I read in a book that he said this. Harmon Killebrew, probably told you this before, but he had five sons. And one day they were at home. The boys were all young and at home. And they're all out in the backyard playing. They were at home. And his brother came over. And his brother looked at him and said, Harmon, look at those boys out there in the backyard. They are tearing your grass all to pieces. And Harmon looked at him and said, he said, we're not growing grass. We're growing boys. Folks, that'll preach. Folks, some of these little trivial things. I just vacuumed this floor today. You better not step on that carpet. I mean, that's your child you're talking to. Get out of that refrigerator. I spent all my hard-earned money on those groceries, and you come in here nibbling on them all the time, Jeff. Leave them alone. Me and you in the same boat, brother. But think about it. That's your husband. That's your wife you're talking to. That's your children you're talking to. They're God's little people you're talking to. How do we expect to have harmony and hope in a home treating one another like that? Folks, let's don't do it. Amen? Let's love one another. Let's have peace in our home. Do everything you can to make peace. Everybody. Don't just make your set of rules and everybody's going to abide by these rules or else. No. Let God set the rules. Husband, wife, children. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand together if you would. Thank you for your listening today. Heads are bowed and eyes are